Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Alrighty. Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of the iOS 18 Release Notes Deep Dive. Really hope you guys enjoyed part one of that episode. But like I said, there's so much that has been added to iOS 18, and there are so many new changes and improvements that we kind of had to split this episode up into a two-parter, and it's been a while since we've had to do that. But anyway, I am your host, Evan Starnes, and I am joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, it's a good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Evan, how you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing better this week. All the stinking, bloody tech issues that I was experiencing last week kind of just majestically cleared up in a way. And like, I've actually had decent luck using like Outlook and other and Microsoft Office 365 stuff. And I've had a lot of issues with that. So I'm glad to just see that that's not the case this week. It's behaving nicely. So, honestly, I'm doing pretty good. And yeah, how are you doing, Kelvin? How's your week been treating you?
I'm still living beyond my challenges. I mean, every day is another day, and we just keep trying to find joy in it. And
absolutely,
yeah, I will be honest with everybody. I'm in a very tough season, but as I say every day, at the end of all the shows, go live beyond your challenges. And I'm just doing that, taking one day at a time, rejoicing in that challenge.
And that's keep what you got to do, man.
So
absolutely. But before we dive into part two of the deep dive, it's time for our tech piece of the week. Yeah. So my tech piece of the week this week, just with all of the new improvements that have been brought to AirPods and AirPods Pro, is actually my set of AirPods Max. I don't know if I've ever had that as a tech piece before, but I've got to, because those are my daily headphones. I mean, I get home from work, I want to listen to some tunes, and I want it to sound fantastic. Those are my daily headphones. I think those things have gotten cumulatively thousands of hours of use, and I've only had them for like 2 years. So seriously, so Apple,
the $500.
They are. They really are. Like, they're. It really. The experience, the audio experience, for a pair of wireless headphones, especially connected to an Apple device, the audio experience is. I haven't found anything better than it. Apple, you know how to make a nice sounding pair of wireless headphones. I mean, yes, I think $500 might be a little much for those. I think the most I'd spend would be like $350-$400 on them, but it's hard to argue with the sound quality I get out of those darn things. Battery life and stuff, you know, I've seen better headphones, you know, with better battery life. And the transparency mode on those is the best I've ever heard from a pair of wireless headphones. Like, it's when they're in transparency mode, it's like I'm not even wearing them at all. It's really good. And I mean, needless to say, noise cancellation is also ridiculously good. So yes, my tech piece is the Apple AirPods Max, both the Lightning and USB-C variant. What is your tech piece?
Well, I got a good tech piece, but I'm just glad you brought that up, because I've been in the market for a new headphone. So,
oh really?
I might have to flirt with that. We'll see if we get married on this or not, but we'll find out another day.
Dude, I can convince you. I have the power.
I've got the power. Anyway, you already convinced me on the Android, so I'm not sure if I want to get convinced on any more high-dollar items.
Are you sure?
But anyways, so my tech piece of the day is the Rode Go 2. And that is a wireless setup for you to do live streaming or video recording and be wireless. So you plug in your Rode Go 2 and plug it into your phone. They have a dongle that you can use for your iPhone if you have an iPhone. If you need it for your computer, you can plug it in your computer. You can do so much with this little device. They're both like little, I want to say the size of a $1 coin, like one of the $1 coins, about that size, and it transmit. Yeah. And then you get the Rode Go mic. That sounds like $1 million. So yeah, I can't complain. The only downside is it does have a touch screen. So if you need to change your setting, you definitely need to do it on your computer or make sure that you got your settings locked. Once you have your settings locked, you're pretty set to go. So, but yeah, that's my tech piece of the week.
Love wireless mics too. Is it so? It's like a little, like a lapel mic or a lavalier that's wireless, so that connects to the receiver.
So there's two parts. Yeah. So
the mic.
So you have the mic part that plays into a box, and then also on the box actually has its own mic on the Rode Go.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So if you actually don't need it, and the other thing is it records locally on the Rode Go 2 mic receiver or mic
really
transmitter. Yeah. And it records locally. So if the connection fails, you just go grab the recording, and then you have the raw recording right there.
Oh, you've got a backup, a redundancy. And that's one of the things you really want when it comes to audio recording.
Exactly.
That's sweet. I've actually almost wondered if I played with those before, because I know Alex, our senior programming manager, has a really handy little microphone setup that she uses with her cameras, and it has like a little... it's like a little teeny box that's about the size of like an AirPods case. You plug in a microphone into it, and then you push a button and it's going. But this kind of sounds like an upgrade from that, especially if it's smaller and it has the ability to connect to your device directly.
No, it's two devices.
Well,
so you have the mic transmitter, and then you have the receiver.
Right,
box.
Right.
And that box plugs into your device. And then you have, also it has an input, so you can hear how high and low your audio.
Good, a zero latency output, so you can monitor your audio and make sure you're not absolutely destroying your microphone. That is totally a necessity, especially if you're a blind or low vision audio engineer and you just want to make a good quality recording, is the ability to hear what you're recording whilst it's being recorded. I'm so glad it has that. Absolutely. Well, we'd better dive into part two of the iOS 18 deep dive, because we've kind of gone on for a little bit here, but, yeah, that's really cool, and I'll have to give the Rode Go 2 a check out. But yeah, with that being said, stay tuned for part two. Now, they've also added a new item chooser, and the item chooser with VoiceOver, I don't really use it a lot, but it's basically a feature that will allow you to basically put the items on a screen into a vertical up and down list, and you can also search for things. So like, let's say I was trying to search for, let's say I was in the Apple Watch app and I was trying to search for general to go to the general settings. I go into the item chooser, search for general, and then it would, any element of the on the screen that had the word general in it would be displayed. Now, with the item chooser and Braille screen, and Braille displays, you can now type pretty much at any point on the screen, as long as you're not in like a text box, you can type text and then hit enter, and then it will give you a list of items that it found that match what you've typed. It's definitely pretty intuitive, and it will make it a lot more efficient to navigate around the screen using Braille.
What's interesting is there was a new thing that came out on the Braille display, and I'm curious what you think about this. Is how does the rotor interact with the Braille display?
Oh, that's an interesting. The rotor does work with the Braille display. You just have to have separate commands to either rotor right and rotor left, and then you can actually you'd have to have a command for swiping up and down. The rotor does work with a Braille display. I've had to customize mine a little bit because I don't remember, depending on your Braille display, the commands that you use to adjust the rotor can vary and can be a little bit clunky sometimes. So,
but with iOS 18, they solved that problem.
Oh, is this something I haven't seen yet?
I don't think
yet. You
figured this out yet.
I don't think I have. Well, tell.
I say we got to get an update next week, everybody. I threw a curveball to Evan. Let's get a round of applause on that one, people. I trumped Evan on that
he
one.
Did. That's a first. I'm usually the one throwing curveballs in your direction. So, well, what is this new rotor-like or rotor functionality that has been added with Braille support?
So according to the TikTok lady, that she popped up on my TikTok, and she explained that the way to do a gesture on the I listened to it in the middle, like I was going to bed, so I was just like, oh, this is
asleep
good
listening
news.
To it.
Yeah, and so there's something in regards to the top of the screen and the bottom of the screen that you get to do, and it solves all the problems with the rotor.
Oh, whoa, that's Braille screening. I know what you're talking about. Wah, wah. Your curveball failed, Kelvin. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Hey, that's actually what we're going to talk about next, though, is actually a lot of the new improvements that have been brought to Braille screen input. They've pretty much not quite rebuilt Braille screen input from the ground up, but my goodness, they have added some pretty neat little improvements to that. And actually, the first one being the ability to activate Braille screen input by holding your device and then double tapping with two fingers on the top and bottom edges of the screen. It will immediately activate Braille screen input. Then to stop Braille screen input, you drag two fingers in opposite directions, and it will basically kick you out of Braille screen input. And they've added some cool new little sounds and haptics to signify going in and out of Braille screen input.
I was really going for that one. I thought I got you on that one.
Hey, that was a good one. I think I have a feeling you are going to stump me one day, though, and I won't expect it. So, you know, that's okay. Now, also, the item chooser that I discussed a couple minutes ago with Braille displays also does work in Braille screen input as well. So that's definitely pretty cool. And they've added a new Braille screen input command mode, and that allows you to use Braille chords. And basically what chords are, for those who don't know, are they're commands that you enter on a Braille display in conjunction with the space bar. So for instance, if I wanted to exit something, it's a Z chord. So that's the letter Z in Braille with the space bar. And but now they've added that where you can initiate a command mode. And to initiate that particular command mode with Braille screen input, you're going to want to swipe right or left with three fingers. And when you're in command mode, you'll actually hear a sound that sounds a lot like a Braille writer's bell. You know, you ever use the Perkins Braille writers before? And yeah,
it's
it's like that. So it sounds like that. And then you can, the difference between VoiceOver's command mode versus, you know, using a chord on your Braille display is that you don't need to, obviously, since you can't press space in Braille screen input, you don't need to actually hold down space while doing these commands, but you can hit like .4 or .1 to go forward and back with VoiceOver. And, you know, you could hit H in Braille to go to your home screen. It's really, it's cool. And, I just literally discovered it like half an hour ago and have been kind of playing around with it. And, it's definitely something I'll have to get used to, but at the same time, you know, it's definitely, I feel like it'll make it even more intuitive, especially if you use BS Braille screen input a lot. You know, it'll just make it a lot more seamless to go, you know, from using Braille screen input to type and then using mm-hmm. Braille screen input to do VoiceOver commands.
Yeah. But I think it's fascinating. And this is the one area in my life that I just have not fully embraced. But it seems like every time there are new updates, I'm just like, why am I not doing this?
Right?
And
they add all these new features.
I think I'm going to have to start drinking this Kool-Aid to see what's on the other side.
The BSI Kool-Aid. Oh, my gosh, yes. BSI is one of those things that once you discover its potential and how more efficient it can make you as a VoiceOver user, especially if you're, you know, if you are really familiar with Braille, it's kind of hard to backtrack, especially if you end up like switching to a different device, like an Android device or whatever it might be. And there's one other little thing that they've added here with Braille screen input, and that is the ability to have it always active. So if you want, if you use Braille screen input religiously and you don't want it to exit when you open an app or change screens, you can always have it on, and then you can just, you know, go between input mode and command mode all the time and pretty much have your phone controlled all by Braille.
Which is quite fascinating, because honestly, if you become a master in the Braille display world, as soon as you throw your phone in your backpack and you're good to go and you move on with life.
Exactly. It really does make it, I love BSI. But yeah, that's pretty much all of the big changes that have been added with Braille screen input. So definitely if you have used Braille screen input in the past and have just upgraded to iOS 18, go give it a try now with these new gestures, and you'll see what we're talking about here. It's pretty sweet. I love the new sounds too, that they've finally made it so that when you're typing, you get like haptic and sound feedback, and it just feels so much more tactile. And I might actually start using BSI more. Now, let's kind of shy away from VoiceOver and Braille and all of that, and just talk about a couple of little like miscellaneous changes that have been added to iOS and watchOS that have just, they're kind of underrated, and you know, they're not talked about a bunch. And the biggest one for me with watchOS, being a longtime Apple Watch user, since the Apple Watch's inception, you've been able to change the watch face, the bands, the home screen, you know, all the visual aspects of it, but have never, ever been able to really change how your Apple Watch sounds. Until now, you finally have the ability to change your ringtone, text tone, mail sound, all of it. You finally now have custom tones on the Apple Watch, and that is huge.
I think that's going to be a handy dandy tool when you're playing Marco Polo with your phone. Like, you can have it when you say Marco, it can say Polo back.
Maybe.
I think that'd be amazing.
Oh, that would be hilarious, right?
I mean, how often do we as blind individuals play Marco Polo with ourselves? I mean, I said that.
We're doing it when you're at the hike, man. Remember? Yeah.
Well, the other thing is I dropped my soap just in the shower, and I said Marco, and it didn't say nothing back, and I had to go find it. I was like, you know, if the soap could say Polo back, that would be amazing.
Absolutely.
We find our phone when you do the find your phone feature on the watch. It goes ding
ding ding ding. Makes a little chime sound.
Yeah, like a chime. And if you just say and your phone, your watch says Marco, and then the phone says Polo. I mean, that'd be amazing.
That'd be pretty funny, wouldn't it?
Right? And especially if you're in a room and you want to just play a joke on people, and you just say, and you hit Marco, and nobody says Polo back, but your phone
does. At least
does.
My phone will say it for me, and I won't feel as awkward.
Exactly. Exactly.
And also with the Apple Watch, and unfortunately, this is exclusive to the Apple Watch Ultra 2 and Series 10 and later, but at the same time, they finally made it so you can play music and audio through your Apple Watch's built-in speaker. And I don't know why they didn't bring this to the Apple Watch Ultra and the Series 9 and earlier, because the speakers on those have always been pretty good. But it's kind of nice, like, if you don't want to put in earbuds or headphones, and you don't want, and your phone's charging, but you just want a little thing to listen to a podcast on, you'll finally be able to play audio on your watch's speaker, and it sounds pretty good, not gonna lie. I've heard demos of it, and it gets pretty loud, and it's a nice option to have for sure. Now, the last improvements, Kelvin, you're gonna love these. These really pertain to AirPods, and most particularly AirPods Pro second generation. They've really given those things a lot of love in iOS 18 here. But one of the coolest new features with all AirPods now is the ability to nod or shake your head to accept or reject a call or respond to notifications.
Oh, brother.
Right?
See, okay. As blind individuals, this is the dangerous thing for us.
Yeah.
We have blindisms. Straight up. You know? Whoa!
You're right.
I mean, we have the, and especially if we're rockers, like, I can tend to be a rocker sometimes, and I forget that I'm rocking, and then, that gesture gonna make that hang up that phone call. I'm like, whoops. Oh, nope, not for you today.
Well, the good thing is that's only that gesture is only going to be active when Siri is reading out a notification or while your phone is ringing. So if you're like actually on a call, you won't just be able to shake your head and have it end the call, fortunately.
Okay.
But it could accidentally happen.
How would, like, you're so mad?
Actually, I didn't even think about that. Like, somebody, I'm already like, when it comes to phone calls, I'm already pretty bad at just random phone calls. I'm like, oh my God, somebody's calling me and I'm not in the mood to talk. And sometimes I get mad and shake my head. But oops, I didn't mean to immediately reject them. I don't want it to look like I don't want to talk to them. No, man.
So let me talk about the hearing aids real fast. Apple AirPods. If you're going to use them as hearing aid and you have a severe hearing loss, it's garbage. Just straight up.
Wait, you got to play with it?
No, but I've watched enough reviews. So if you have like a hearing loss like I do, a severe or severe hearing loss, it isn't gonna work. Oh. Two is this isn't for like if you were to put AirPods in your grandpa. He might be able to hear better, but more likely that hearing test isn't sufficient enough to really get you your levels. So again, this is called the over the counter hearing aids, and so they legally can't go past a certain decibel and provide you certain hearing from a legal standpoint. So if you just need some amplification in your audio, yeah, they will work. But if you're like me with a severe hearing loss, you got custom tubes, you got high-level audio input, output, all that stuff going on, and you're doing a lot of different things with your hearing aid, this isn't. So if you are deafblind or if you're new to the deafblind community, you can try this out. But you're better off going to get prescription hearing aids because they're going to be a lot more powerful and a lot more better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus, the mics on the AirPods only have a very specific frequency range that they can hear, and it's kind of limited. Yep.
So that's something to really chew on. I mean, I would say definitely take a look at it, but I probably will never get AirPods to work well enough for my hearing loss. And so that's why they say you can play around with it, but I would not invest the money if you really need hearing aids.
Yeah, that's unfortunate too, because hearing aids are expensive. And so I was kind of hoping this would be a good supplement for those. But I haven't played with it yet. It's not, I don't think it's available with 18.0. I think I do believe the feature is in beta and will be available probably within the next like month or so. But it sounds like the people that have played with it just haven't had as good of an experience, though. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Well, like, the people I follow on YouTube, they're hearing aid experts. And then also my audiologist that I see, I talked to her about it, and she's like, Kelvin, it's just never going to get to the level that you need. And if you don't really know your hearing levels, you could really do some serious damage. Ooh. And that's why they can only go as far as they can go over the counter, because that way they're not held liable for providing you over the counter. The same thing with medication, right? They're going to give you enough medication over the counter that it's not going to kill you. But if you want a more heavier dose of it, you're going to have to go get
like a prescription of it.
Prescription of it. That's kind of what playing around with this whole over-the-counter hearing aid thing. And honestly, this is over-the-counter hearing aid thing is a new thing. It's not something that's as common. It only came into law about 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's what I remember. It was huge when it came out, though, and it made it. It did make hearing aids that cost like thousands and thousands of dollars a lot more obtainable and reachable for those who are just, you know, who are just losing their hearing but having trouble trying to acquire a prescription for hearing aids. Yep. I will be testing that out once it becomes available, and I'll share my personal thoughts. Now, I don't have any hearing loss or any of that, but it would be interesting to at least see if it maybe makes it possible to keep your AirPods in when you're trying to listen for things like an Uber approaching or people around you, because that's always been the issue I've had with AirPods Pro. Is the transparency mode when I'm using it, it muffles a lot of the kind of higher frequencies that I hear, and it makes everything kind of sound like you're listening through marshmallows. And as somebody who relies on my echolocation
hold on. You're putting marshmallows in your ears? Well, how would you know what it's like to have marshmallows in your... Hold on, Evan. Everybody got to have an understanding of
what
this.
It's like to have a marshmallow in your ear? Well, have you put a cotton ball in your ear?
That's
it's like that. It's like putting a cotton ball in your ear.
But
it's
not. But you said marshmallow.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to understand. We all heard him say marshmallow.
I said marshmallow because I'm hungry. That's why. But well, a marshmallow or a cotton ball is what it sounds like. And so that's why. But maybe, you know, maybe this will make the transparency mode at least a little bit more usable. Now, there's one other feature that I actually have been playing around with this week. And I actually needed to kind of debunk a misleading something that was misleading in the release notes for iOS 18. They've added a new feature for music called Music Haptics. And this one's interesting because apparently it will allow you to experience new music in kind of a more immersive way. And it will, basically the taptic engine in your phone, the vibration motor in simple terms, will vibrate along with the beat of your music, kind of like the ringtone improvement that we were talking about at the beginning of this episode. Have you played around with that much, or what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I haven't done the update because I haven't got the verification that the hearing aids work.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'll never forget when iOS 15, all the hearing aids crashed. And so I always wait until the third update before I do the updates on my phone.
Absolutely.
So that way my hearing aids survive.
Yeah.
$7,000 down the drain. You know, you don't want that.
No, it's kind of crucial if they make it so that you can't use like that would be bad. Like if an iOS update broke like switch control for somebody too, like that's no bueno. So I could see why you'd be waiting on that update.
Yeah. I'm normally a sitter. I'm not a go-getter. I'd love to. I stay up to date, but when I actually apply it, I'm normally about 6 months later.
Right on. Now, the music haptics feature, now what's strange here with the iOS release notes is that they say that this feature is only available on iPhone 14 and later, but I actually did get it to work on my iPhone 13 Pro, and I think that's just because my iPhone 13 Pro has the exact same chip that the iPhone 14 has, and maybe that means that it'll actually work on the 13 later, and maybe that means that they might need to kind of revise that release note a little bit. But it is interesting. I tried it with the song Lovely Day by Bill Withers, and it was actually, that was the best results that I've gotten out of it. But you could feel like the drum beats, and then at the end of that song when he holds that high E, it does like the Taptic engine was translating that into this just long like continuous vibration, and it sounded really funny. But it,
so we should do a test.
We definitely should,
and see if I can sing with that vibration. Because here's the thing: did you know? Interesting fact about me is that I don't know how to sing because I can't hear my own voice.
I don't know how to sing because I choose not to.
But I did sing one song, and the way I sung that song was through haptics.
What? Oh, that's interesting. Yep.
So I put my hands on the piano.
You pulled a Beethoven, didn't you?
I sure did.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
So I put my hands on the piano. My instructor would hit the piano keys, and I was able to sing the song in tune. And this would be interesting is, could I take current day songs and then feel the vibration and maybe possibly be able to sing and be like, oops, I did it again.
Oh, watch out, copyright.
Bah, bah,
bah, bah. we'll be fine. That would be interesting. Actually, and that's funny because I was trying to find some songs to try this out with that had like a lot of percussive elements in them and that weren't like drowned in melody. And that actually, that particular song, it does have a lot of percussive elements. So I'm going to have to try that feature out. Now, before we wrap up this episode, there is one burning question that I'm sure a lot of you guys are asking. Should I update? And honestly, when it comes to iOS 18 releases, this release, believe it or not, actually doesn't have as many serious or even pesky voiceover issues as other iOS releases. So honestly, if you're not dependent on other on things like switches, hearing aids, or if you're solely just a voiceover user, give it a try. I've been using it for a few days, and it's honestly been pretty darn reliable. And
he's still alive. I'm still alive, everybody.
My phone is still working. I'm not frustrated, and I don't want to throw it through a window. So, no, I would definitely say it's a pretty solid experience. I'm glad to see that they've fixed that. They've kind of addressed a lot of those annoying bugs. If you want to actually really find out about the bugs and issues and workarounds with iOS 18 and VoiceOver, you actually can check that out on the newly revived Apple Viz website. And I don't know why we saved this for the end of the episode, but I just need to say this right now. There is actually a point that you and I had kind of discussed a while ago. It was actually on the it was on the Unmute episode, and during that episode, we were kind of just saying like, "Oh man, Apple Viz is going away, and it's no longer a thing." But nope, for those who've been potentially under a rock, it's actually been acquired by Be My Eyes, and I was just on it earlier today, and it's back, and it's it's the Apple Viz that you know and love, but it seems to have definitely undergone a little bit of kind of groundwork there. So I'm glad to see that Apple Viz is back and up and running again, as it was a huge resource for not only me, but a lot of other individuals that use Apple products in the blind and low vision communities.
I'm getting hungry, Evan.
Me too,
man. I'm getting hungry, man. This tummy's getting hungry.
Man, my stomach's been growling all a little bit during this episode. And I think because I'm hungry and because you're hungry and because we've gone on and on and on, it's about time for
the sandwich of the week.
And honestly, I do not, believe it or not, have, well, actually, this is totally the norm now. I don't have a sandwich of the week this week yet. So whilst I'm very quickly improvising something, do you have a sandwich of the week, Kelvin? I'm going to be a jerk and put you in the hot seat again.
Well, my sandwich of the week is, and by the day, I don't know if people knew, but September 18th is hamburger day.
What?
Cheeseburger day, by the way. That's the day we're recording this podcast.
Oh, you're right.
But,
yeah.
But I'm not doing a hamburger. But I'm doing an actually a burrito, because isn't a burrito kind of like a sandwich?
No, not really. But
you eat it like a sandwich.
I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide for this episode. Right. What's your burrito?
I'm doing a California burrito, from Sombrero's. Mexican food place. Yeah, they got a good carnitas. They get french fries. You get cheese. And that's what I leave it at. But you can also get guacamole, sour cream, and pico de gallo in there as well. But yeah, so that is my sandwich pick of the week. What is yours, Evan?
Well, since I completely forgot that today is National Cheeseburger Day, pretty much, I'm actually going to go and revisit a delicious burger that I've had long ago at a place called Old Town Tavern in Old Town Littleton. And that burger is my favorite. It's the Juicy Lucy. It's this big double hamburger double cheeseburger with blue cheese crumble, onions, pickles. I think it comes with tomatoes that I always take off because I don't like them. Lettuce, and it's juicy. It's not Lucy, though. Unless it falls apart on you, then it is. But it is a delicious burger. And if you are in the Colorado area, and particularly near Littleton, and have not visited Old Town Tavern, go do that. Like, stop listening to this episode and go do that right now. Because you are missing out on some delicious food, in my opinion. Now, before we wrap up this episode, Kelvin, do you have any kind of closing thoughts or any anything that has stood out to you from today's big release note deep dive?
Well, I think what's interesting about the update that are here and still coming is that what's amazing is that we're getting more and more access. And I think we need to be celebrating the fact that we're getting more and more access, because we've been fighting for so many years to have access to the internet, to phone, devices, products, and Apple just continues to come and blow it out of the water for most of us and really give us the opportunity to have access. So I just want to give kudos to Apple for really being there for us as visually impaired individuals to give us that opportunity.
And not even that, but just deaf-blind individuals or deaf, mm-hmm. or even, you know, deaf or hard of hearing, any of that. The features that they've implemented have really I get the impression that they've done a lot of their research and that they've, you know, gone and actually, you know, gotten input from individuals, you know, who are deaf, hard of hearing, blind, low vision, have, you know, motor impairments, whatever it might be. And they've really just tailored these features to work super seamlessly with, you know, with to meet your needs. And I have to agree with you there. So that's not to say that we're missing stuff on Android. You know, Android's got its own, you know, slew of accessibility features and improvements. But really, Apple just the way that they innovate with things like music haptics and the new Braille screen input commands really just impresses me. You know, I always am like, man, what more can you guys bring to the table? And they always seem to impress me for sure.
So we're going to wrap up our show here. But first thing that we need to know is we want to hear back from you. We want you to call us or text us or email us. So where do we do that, Evan?
Yeah, you want to do that at feedback@aftersight.org or 720-712-8856. Good Lord. And we'd love to know what specific enhancements and changes that you've seen while using your iOS or Apple device, because we're curious here on Blind Level Tech, on Blind Level Tech, and we definitely love hearing your feedback. So yes, definitely please send us any feedback, questions, or comments that you might have, and we will be sure to address those in whatever way we can. With that being said, I am your host, Evan Starnes. I'm going to go eat right now. And yeah, this is my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.